Hey everyone, welcome to JoJo's World.
Hello.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm Liam S. Smith, one of your co-hosts.
And I'm McValentine, the other one of the co-hosts.
This is, of course, so long away. So good to be back. JoJo's World, our JoJo's Bizarre Adventure recap and discussion podcast, where today we are talking about the third last episode of Bubblegum Crisis Tokyo 2040. Blam, 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 blam. Toilet Field flush sound.
Toilet flush sound. We don't have that kind of budget. Look, we can afford the
dripping tap.
We can afford dripping tap.
Leaky shower.
Bomb drop effect.
Skeleton clanking bones.
And that's about it, right? We don't have room for this whole toilet flush.
We don't have a soundboard, and I don't want to figure out how to work one.
We don't have the time to figure out how to make Alex Jones quotes work when I push a button, so we can rip into that whole ecosystem.
We're not doing that.
Oh, you have no control of the soundboard, Liam.
The soundboard, like a boomer, has truly taken on a life of its own. And that's what we call a segue.
Speaking of boomers.
I'm listening.
I was thinking the other day, wouldn't it be kind of great to be a boomer?
Like an old person or a robot?
No, like the robots. I don't want to be a boomer. But imagine if you were a boomer.
Like,
right?
Marky.
Oh, okay. Not like Marky. I more meant like the guy that we see in this episode who's like, hello there.
You just want to be a simple machine fulfilling a simple purpose.
Exactly. I just want to be the happy guy who's like, man, you know what? I want to be one with this car.
There's this one boomer in this episode who's spent presumably the whole lifetime of the show operating a space elevator skyhook thing and has been blissfully unaware of the apocalypse that's unfolding below.
And he's all like,
Hello,
can I help you?
I'm here to operate the skyhook.
Just imagine being that guy. Just imagine being that happy
No thoughts,
boomer.
Only vibes.
Yeah.
Just driving your little machine into space every day.
Every day. A simple task that you can do. No questions asked. Anyone that comes up to you is like, hey, do you know what you're doing? You're like, I've been doing this since the day I was born.
On a factory line.
And now I'm here. You don't think I know what the hell I'm doing? Get out of here.
Yeah, I had the chance to mutate into a big tentacled monstrosity. But
listen,
I'd rather keep driving my little machine.
I know that it'll bring about the utopia for me. But buddy, you see that star over there? We're not just going to go there. We're going to go anywhere else. And I know how.
No, we're not going to go anywhere else. We're going to go two places. We're going to go the space umbrella in space.
Oh, yeah.
And the space umbrella supply drop-off thingy on Earth.
We go up, we go down.
He's the
That's
boomer
it.
Equivalent of those men who are really into trains.
Like me.
Oh, dear.
Listen, if I'm not into trains, I don't know what I'm about.
The flying pussyfoot. The beautiful train that travelled across the continental United States in the 1920s until a horrible incident resulted in like nine people on board dying or
surely
whatever
be,
happened in
Yeah,
Barcano.
Surely there'd be no kind of demon presence there.
Some
though.
Sort of
sure.
unstoppable nigh supernatural assassin.
Yeah, nothing supernatural or untoward would go down.
No.
Surely it would just be classic gangsters.
Classic gangsters.
You know, gangsters.
The Russo family.
Yeah. You know, they seem like fine dudes.
They're all wearing nice white suits.
Mm.
They seem like an orchestra even. Oh no, the orchestra were the cultists.
Yeah.
The white suits were the wedding party.
Wait.
Because Lad Russo was going to marry his wife who never says or does anything of note.
I think the only thing she did was nod.
She was desperately, they were desperately in love with each other so that he could kill her last.
That's right. So that she knew he was the best.
Yeah.
So boomers.
Boomers. Nick.
Yeah.
Before we started recording the previous episode of this show, we watched the trailer for Death Stranding 2, which I did say I would watch and report back on, but we've yet to do.
So you now have digested.
Thought about it.
Yeah, you've had a full fortnight to think about it.
I think it's pretty cool. There's that little puppet guy who moves with a strange frame rate.
Christoph Waltz.
Mm-hmm. First off, Waltz.
So let's break it down bit by bit.
Sure.
Sam Porter Bridges, I assume, is being worked on a surgery table.
Potentially.
And we have the first weird thing, which is the mask.
So Fragile,
yeah.
The woman who, what, her
famously
neck,
not that
her
fragile.
Body from the neck down is really old because of time rain.
Yep.
She's got a new surgical suit, which has a robotic hand mask and / personal assistant thing built into it.
Yep, she does, yep. How are your feelings on that?
Great, that rules.
Fucking
That's
hell.
Fucking sick.
The click to get the lighter?
That's right, it's a lighter as well. It's a general all-purpose personal assistant suit with creepy creepy leather hands on the shoulders.
Oh, Jesus, so dumb.
And George Miller is the surgeon, right?
Yep, he's the surgeon.
Creator of Mad Max and Babe Pig in the City.
Yep, and then it gets real weird real fast because we got BB, who's all like thumbs up, and then a little ship flies out of his
Lou
mouth.
Lou is said to be dead in dialogue.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
A shame.
Yep. And yet.
And is yet. She?
We don't know.
We just don't know.
So, standout features are...
Big robot samurai.
Big robot samurai, which I believe is BB.
You think so?
Yeah, because they're making the baby sounds when they...
Oh, I didn't notice
when
that.
They slash. Yeah. Higgs uses an electric guitar to fight.
Yep.
I think it was.
It might shoot electricity lasers or it might just be an axe.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I mean, obviously the axe on the axe is a good pun. But...
Yeah, that's classic Marceline from Adventure Time has her axe base.
Exactly. What else happened? Oh, we're now on a ship that's in, like, New Mexico.
Yeah, it's cruising through the apocalypse-sized Mexico and presumably maybe other Caribbean islands. Otherwise, why do we have a ship?
Yep. Who knows? Who knows?
It's Caribbean, just not America. I think Caribbean is right. But...
Yeah. We're just not America anymore.
Yeah. We're just not America anymore. America is dead, Sam. A lot of people don't want to join the
Bridges.
UAE. Hang on. No, that's the United Arab Emirates. What was the new country they were building called?
America?
Sure.
Yeah, they don't want to rebuild America. They want to build America. Okay? One guy, he's in his little bunker and he's all like,
yeah,
fuck
for
off.
President Samantha America Hayes. Was that her name?
I can't remember. Some
it's
lady.
Been a while.
The important thing is that there's still a lot of black goop.
There's so much black goop. Tar, even.
Yep, and there's now there's a lady.
Even an even wider array of creatures coming out of that black goop.
Mm. And there's now a lady who's all like, I heard Mr. Miller, and now I feel pensive.
Miller.
And then she walks away and we see nothing.
Miller.
Miller? Mr. Miller?
Miller. Miller. Huey.
Oh, don't, wait, no. Don't bring down the tone
no,
with
Huey's
Huey.
Not Miller. Who's Miller?
Miller's...
Oh, Miller's...
our friend.
Yeah, we love Miller.
Yeah, don't mention...
We love Mr. Miller.
Yeah, don't mention... Don't bring Huey, Huey. Into... Don't...
Miller is... what's his line?
Why are we here?
They played us like a goddamn fiddle!
But why are we here? Just to suffer?
Sam, this is Miller Man. They played us like a goddamn fiddle when they created the Death Stranding.
Snake, have you heard...
Snake, I
of
mean
the
Sam.
Death... Have you heard of... The beach.
Hang on, hang on, Sam. I've got another call coming in. Snake, they took everything from us.
Could you imagine if that's the crossover that Kojima's aiming for? Where he's like, no, no, the Death Stranding is just the next logical step of Metal Gear Solid. So you know all those like geckos and all the cyborgs and
I mean,
stuff.
In terms of the game and... menus and things.
Mm. Oh, it's the same. Like, it's the same vibe.
Yeah,
but.
I'm just really excited to walk places again. A lot of people didn't like that about that game, but I really did.
I enjoyed the walking.
It was meditative when it wasn't intense and crazy.
I just remember being like, this is the best walking simulator I've ever played because it actually simulated walking, but
I remember fighting my ghost dad over my baby, mm-hmm. and I remember fighting Higgs...
Yeah,
I was trying to come up with some way to describe him, but he's just Higgs.
He's just Troy Baker
in the waist deep in the tar-like water of the afterlife,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
or purgatory.
Yeah, I remember little old Troy Baker just being like, "Hi, I'm Troy Baker."
I remember getting to entirely skip the presumably quite stressful section where you don't have your baby to detect ghosts because someone put a zipline receiver exactly where I needed it to be.
Amazing. I remember I got really annoyed when at the end of the game, spoilers for Death Stranding, the time rain starts coming down everywhere, and I was like, oh shit.
Oh, I thought the implication was it was just normal rain now.
No, no, no. So it's like, the time rain is everywhere, mm-hmm. but I could completely circumvent it.
Oh, like in the climax, you mean?
Yeah,
right,
at the end
of the game.
Yeah, yeah, right at the end of the game. And I was like, oh, okay. There's a storm a-brewing, everything's fucked. But I could circumvent the entirety of that section because a bunch of people had put down those big umbrellas. So I was like, wait, so I don't have to worry about making
anything. No, that's not annoying and circumventing
the thing. That's the whole point.
That's beautiful and cooperation.
That's the thesis of the game. But also I was like, I don't have to worry about any of this.
I really enjoyed that whole, like, retracing your whole ostensibly cross-continental journey, like, manually in the shortest amount of time and space that you could.
Mm. But I was like, oh, I don't have to worry about anything because I've just got shit tons of umbrellas everywhere.
It got real for me at one point. Like, my bike got destroyed by a giant squid, and then I was like, luckily I'm wearing the speed exoskeleton, so I can just run to the nearest highway and that'll power me for a while.
Right, I see. I didn't have any of those problems. Literally, the number of items that were put down was ridiculous. So I was like, cool, well, this is trivial now. And that was it.
Wow.
Yeah.
Power of the human spirit. Mm. You really overcame adversity.
Yeah. Could have been a better story in terms of actually telling the story, though. But maybe this time they'll get it right.
I hope this time, based on themes espoused in the trailer, they might be taking a bit more of an action-y approach this time. Mm. Which could be a negative, could be a positive, TBC. Mm. But regardless, I hope they integrate the action sequences a little more organically than the sucked into space / time to fight ghosts for
five
just
to
a
ten
little
minutes.
While
yeah.
now.
Yeah. I did enjoy that there was one that was like, great, so it's the ghosts of World War II. And you're like, okay, it's the ghosts of World War II. And then as soon as it's over, we're all just like, what was that? What the fuck happened? And everyone else is like, okay, so you just gotta go deliver.
Yeah, so
your next
you've got to deliver this bomb, Sam.
Yeah, it's just like, wait, are we not gonna talk about what the fuck just happened?
No time for that.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
He took your BB.
My BB.
BB.
BB. Bubblegum Crisis
Tokyo 2040. The only anime set in Tokyo 2040 that I know of.
I don't think there's any other anime set in Tokyo.
Certainly not Mega Tokyo.
No, absolutely not.
The Megalo City.
There's no other Megalo City anywhere. Any other anime that tells you this is a Megalo City, don't listen to them. Yeah. They're fake Megalo Cities. At best, they're just mega cities. Ugh.
Yeah, they're not low at all. No. This episode is entitled Light My Fire, which is by The Doors.
Yeah, we love The Doors.
Due to its erotic lyrics and innovative structure, the track has come to be regarded as synonymous with the 60s psychedelic and sexual revolutions.
Mm. Very nice.
What do you think about The Doors, Nick?
I'm a big fan of The Doors. No,
I don't
I
care
like
for
them.
What?
How can you not care for The Doors?
What have The Doors ever done for me?
Like, they lit your fire. They provided the new sexual revolution that we needed. No, they're sick. They got some bangers on them. What's the one that's all like... the other side.
House of the Rising Sun.
Oh, Liam. That's not The Doors at all.
Isn't it?
No.
Who's
I think
that?
I think it's Break On Through to the Other Side. Is there Banger by The Doors? I'm trying to remember who did... they're like way older, House of the Rising Sun. I was about to say Cannibal Corpse, but that's not it at all.
Oh, The Animals.
Yeah, The Animals. And they're like...
The Doors cover it? Why do I associate that with The Doors?
I don't know. Maybe you hear The, and then all other bands fall into The something.
The Death Stranding.
Ah, The Death Stranding. What a band name, though.
Oh, no, they covered it.
Did they? Oh. Dolly Parton covered it?
Or did they?
Five Finger Death Punch covered it? What the fuck?
You don't need to read out everything on my screen when I'm fact-checking.
But I'm just amazed. I'm impressed. Five Finger Death Punch can't write a good riff for shit. I said it. I went there.
From Quora. What was the House of the Rising Sun from the song by The Doors? I know I could Google this, but I am sure there are more than one idea about what it was supposed to have been. House of the Rising Sun sounds like a Doors song, but it's by The Animals. They are very well respected by critics, but not very well known these days.
Mm. Wait, is that it? Is that the whole...
It's about the drug house that the narrator hangs out at.
Yeah, nice.
Okay, so I was wrong for the second time in the life of this podcast. Actually, the third time, because I do have to issue a correction from last week as well.
What?
So, things I've been wrong about.
Okay.
This.
Yep.
Stephen King Duel.
Wait, what are you talking about? Isn't Duel by Stephen King?
Don't gaslight me, Nick.
I can't remember what we talked about, but I assume it was something to do with Duel and Stephen King.
Yeah, and I thought it was by Stephen King, and you insisted it wasn't, and you were right.
Oh, because it's Steven Spielberg.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, I'm with you now. Go on.
And last week, I said Constantine when I meant Charlemagne.
Who's Charlemagne?
He's the guy that I said Constantine was.
Okay. Is it bad that I thought that's who Constantine was?
No, you thought Constantine was the guy from DC Comics.
Yeah, that's Constantine. That's who we were talking about.
The Doors.
Four members, if I remember so.
Name them.
There's Vocal Man, Guitar Boy.
Yeah, you're not even trying.
Bass Lad and Drum Fellow.
Jim Morrison, Ray Manzarek, Robbie Krieger, brother of Freddie, and John Densmore.
Nice.
I just don't care about The Doors. I'm gonna say it.
You?
Yeah.
What? How can you not care about The Doors?
They're
highly regarded by critics.
They don't light my fire.
Liam.
Spin-off acts from The Doors include...
Here we go.
The Psychedelic Rangers.
Mm-hmm.
Butts Band.
How'd they spell Butts?
B-U-T-T-S.
Oh, no cheeky bastard.
Night City.
Ooh.
And Manzarek Krieger. They themselves are a spin-off of Rick and the Ravens.
The fuck?
A frat rock band founded in 1961 by Manzarek, Densmore, and Morrison.
Interesting. How many other members are there?
Too many.
Okay. Ah, The Doors.
Okay, good well, times. if you think it's such a heinous...
Which I do, yeah.
Then tell me.
Yeah.
Why should I care about The Doors?
The Doors have a vibe of like, listen, we're here to party, we're here to rock. Let's go crazy. And then they do, and it's a great time, you know? It's like listening to Dillinger Escape Plan, but like 50 years ago.
I don't know what that is.
Dillinger Escape Plan is the band that I saw that threw a table into the crowd and started surfing on it while still playing the guitar as another one started. Like, they just grabbed a fire extinguisher and started spraying everything down. Another one was climbing up the scaffolding, and I was like, yeah, that's music. The Doors are like that, but like 50 years ago, where they're just like, listen, we're here to have a good time, and so are you. Get on board, and you can't help but be like, yeah, these are some good grooves. Let's go, you know?
I don't.
Damn it. I'll convince you.
This song is from their first and eponymous album.
The Doors.
Yep.
Mm.
B-side, The Crystal Ship.
The Crystal Ship?
B-side.
Ooh.
Oh, the B-side of the single this was released on, excuse me.
Okay, all right.
Remember when they just gave you when you would buy a CD that had one song, or a tape, I suppose?
Man, you remember
that,
back in the day.
That would have one song on it, but then you would also get another little secret one on the back.
I don't, because I was probably too young.
You never had a ka-single?
I'm sorry, a what?
Ka-single?
A ka-single?
Ka-single.
The hell is a ka-single?
I'm begging you to do the work here.
I mean, I always had a ka-double, which was a song on one side followed by another immediately after. But if you flip it over, it gives you the secret to the Death Stranding.
Oh!
Yeah. There's just a voice on there from some past life that was very into recording and music production that begins singing at you about the nature of time, tar, space, life, death.
Listeners, I need you to enlist in the war in Helldivers 2.
And that's how we recruit democratically.
Yeah. The bots need to be pushed back. This push is going to be over by the time this episode comes out.
Oh, absolutely.
But
if truth
whoever we are fighting at the time need to be pushed back and destroyed for me to get the rewards that I want.
I think both of us are very on the Helldivers train for very different reasons.
Okay, so here's the thing.
Yeah.
Nick and I had a wonderful time probably 2 years ago playing Earth Defense Force 5, the best video game they've ever made.
By they, do you mean the human
Anyone.
Race? Yeah. Yeah, I'm with you.
It's a sci-fi B-movie, third-person action shooter.
It's a romp.
Great dialogue, great action.
Don't play it single-player.
Unless you want to play online with randos, which is also fine.
Oh, yeah. It's just a good time.
Helldivers 2 is that.
But high production quality.
But it's worse because you can't constantly sing a stupid song that barely makes any sense.
True.
Earth Defense Force 5 has such a needlessly elaborate series of manually selectable dialogue call-outs you can choose. Like Team Fortress 2, but probably even more elaborate.
Yeah. That's half of them are useless.
And the other half of them are singing the Helldivers themes. Not the Helldivers, the Earth Defense Force theme song.
Oh, wait, what? How does the... We are the Valiant Infantry.
The passionate team of... It's the something, the alpha team with passion and camaraderie.
Yep.
Heroes as we shout at the top of our lungs, be calm before you raise your guns.
Incredible. Incredible.
And it keeps going.
Oh, yeah.
That's the first stanza or whatever you would say.
And it's like each verse is a different emote.
Yeah. And it gets more and more desperate about how our forces are being obliterated.
Until towards the end of the game, it's like, I will not stand by as more of Earth is killed by the like...
And Earth Defense Force 6 is out in Japan, but not out in the West yet. So Helldivers is tiding us over.
Yeah. As soon as EDF 6 comes out.
Then Helldivers is dead to me.
Oh,
man. No, for Helldivers, but B, when EDF 6 comes out, once again join the Social JoJo's Worlders, or SJWs.
Mm.
The basically non-existent community of people who listen to this podcast and play video games with me.
I think that's 90% of the time you're just like, I just want to be left alone right now.
I've got anxiety. I don't like playing video games with strangers on the internet anymore. Too many bad experiences in my youth.
Yeah. But they made you who you are today.
Yeah. A very anxious person.
Yeah. Yeah. But only online. In real life, you're like...
No, I got a lot of problems. I'm doing great.
Yeah.
But I got a lot of problems. Dragon's Dogma 2 is also a video game I'm playing right now.
Yeah.
I just want to point that out because A, the first one's great, and B, so is the second so far.
Mm-hmm.
But I was talking about it with my friend Jay.
Yep. Mutual friend.
And we were talking about the pawns, who are just like these kind of almost people that exist to help your player character.
Do their thing. What piece are you in this?
You're the Arisen.
The Arisen.
The dragon has stolen your heart, thereby making you functionally immortal apart from getting killed by wounds.
Right, okay. So is that like the bishop or like...
Shut up. But the point is, the pawns are just the made up people from that one Tim Robinson sketch where he's saying they were late to a party because they hit someone with their car or their babysitter got into a hit and run.
Oh.
And he's like, they're just like people that don't matter. That's pawns.
That's pawns. They don't matter.
Yeah. They're just like not a thing. Don't worry about them.
Interesting. Okay. Should you worry about them?
Kind of.
Your pawns?
Because of plots in the first one that dictate that they can become human through a long cycle and series of events.
Wait, are they not human?
They're almost human.
Good game.
They're just like, they don't matter.
They don't matter.
Yeah. They're just pawns.
But like, they help you, yeah?
Yeah, they exist to help you.
So if they die, that's still a death. Right? Like, that's someone dying.
No, but they just come back when you touch the rift crystal.
Okay, yeah, but they die.
And then they come back.
Okay. I'm worried that when you hit them with your car, they're dead. They're gone.
Don't have a car. It's a fantasy universe.
When you hit them with your dragon's dogma.
When I believe about dragons at them. when I imagine dragons at them.
Yeah, when you're like, listen, the dragons are a lie. And they just die. Right before you.
Mm-hmm.
They just come back in the rift.
Okay, do you want me to tell you about the overall cosmology of Dragon's Dogma?
No.
Okay.
But they die.
And then they come back.
Okay. It sounds like they do matter.
But they don't. They're just like there.
Okay.
They're just like spare guys.
Just spare dudes?
Yeah.
Listen, we just need
like a spare tire.
Listen, we just need bodies for the fight.
Yeah, we just need...
Hell
to show, throw wave after wave of pawns and... a single Arisen at the dragon, and then life will go on.
Yeah.
But
magic.
As to how it goes on, well, why that would require me to delve into the overall cosmology of Dragon's Dogma.
I see.
Don't watch the animated adaptation. It's not good.
Oh, okay. I won't then.
Nick, I watched... We're not going to talk about this anime today. Nick, I watched all of Delicious in Dungeon in the last week.
Or all that is out right now.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's good.
It's good shit.
It's funny.
It's charming.
It doesn't take itself too seriously. It doesn't do any like bullshit anime fan service shit.
Mm.
There's no like 1,000-year-old teen girl character.
Yeah. There's only
Senshi. None of that bullshit that I hate about anime.
Yeah. There's Senshi, who we love.
He's like a dwarf.
Yeah.
I think he's voiced by what's his name?
Oh, I got no idea. You know, I'm not watching the English
Pro ZD.
Oh, that'd be a good voice. Yeah. No, all I know is that... Because I'm watching it in Japanese, because of course I have taste. Bam. Destroyed. But like, it's just a good time. It's just, everyone is just having a great old time. Except for, you know, Fallon. But I mean, everyone's having a great old time.
Sung Won Cho is the name I was looking for.
Pro ZD.
Yes. You know, he's famously...
Very funny.
Many short sketches on YouTube, but the one I always remember is the subs versus dubs thing, which is like, subs. Sasuke, you've got to come back because you're my friend and I value you. Dubs. Sasuke, you piece of shit! You've got to come back or I'll fucking kill you!
Wait, isn't that the fan version?
I don't know.
That's half the joke.
Nick, nothing matters! The Death Stranding is going to take us all.
Liam, everything matters. The Death Stranding will take us all.
Unless...
Dragon's Dogma?
Helldivers. And I like that most of the episodic plots... It's about, like, we encounter a new monster in the dungeon.
And then we eat it.
But the way we defeat it involves, like, understanding its behavior or its biology. It's like sort of that sort of farm-to-table approach of cooking and eating monsters.
Yeah. It's like a chef would understand how to cook something. And because he understands how to cook
You've got respect for the creature that you're killing.
Exactly. You know how to kill it because you're a chef.
And you respect it.
Exactly. It's good stuff.
And you'll use every part of it, except for the bits that will kill you.
You know the bit that when it, like, stabs into you, you get paralyzed? Don't eat that. Don't get touched by it. Kill it with fire.
Yeah, the characters are good. They're all nasty little freaks in their own specific ways.
You say this about almost every character on every show, though.
I would say none of the Night Savers are nasty little freaks.
Interesting. Okay. What is the criteria for becoming a nasty little freak?
So they've got to be, like, super into their own particular thing, mm-hmm. to the extent that it negatively impacts their social interactions or perception by normal people.
I mean, Liam, that just sounds like autism.
Yeah. Everyone in Delicious in Dungeon has autism. Oh, tell me no. I'm wrong.
Definitely at you.
Tell me I'm wrong about the characters in this show, though.
I mean, none of them are like that, because they're all very socially capable and don't have...
Have you seen any of them in every conversation they've had?
I mean, it's more like their weird dynamic is that they're all terrible at their jobs.
No, they're all really good at the one thing they do.
But that's basically saying they are each a D&D class.
Yeah.
It's like, that guy's a rogue.
He's really good at rogue shit.
She's a wizard. Mm-hmm. He's a warrior.
She's a wizard, but, like, she's really obsessed with...
ancient magic.
Ancient magic.
Yeah.
And also, like, doing things by the book and the learnings that she has. And she gets really stressed when people deviate from that.
That's just a normal wizard thing.
That's just having autism.
All right, so you heard it here first.
He's got a special interest in monsters and specifically the eating of them and also their biology.
Yeah.
And he'll talk at length about all the fun trivia about monsters he knows about, even when it's not an appropriate time for it.
Okay, yep. Keep going.
The little guy's got a lot of, like, obsessions and trauma over, like, the times that he's been opening chests and something unexpected has happened to him.
Yeah.
Being his death, which is fair enough.
Yeah, he enjoys a more structured environment.
He gets really stressed out when he's doing the one thing he's good at and you're interfering with it.
Okay. Yeah, okay. I'm seeing it now. I'm seeing it. What about Senshi?
He's also just really obsessed with cooking and eating monsters and has left his society because it didn't approve of it.
I don't know if this is autism, but it's very close.
You see what I'm saying?
What you're saying now, yeah. There's more to it than just... you know, they're freaks. It's like...
I mean, they are freaks.
They are freaks, but there's a reason for it. There's, you know, hot damn, now I'm...
That wasn't even the thesis I was coming into this conversation with. You drew me there.
I did draw it. I'm the one getting cancelled if I get cancelled for this. Oh, no.
You incepted that idea into me, and then you made me argue it to you.
Is this entire podcast now?
Yeah.
I give Liam
Nick's
a terrible
been the master
idea.
Manipulator all along.
Listen, I am nothing if not a capitalist venture pig who just make you think, oh, no, this is a great idea. If you start selling yourself as, like, an asset to the company, listen, we'll make millions together. You and I, a team. I'll hold on to the money, though. You just hold on. You just hold back.
Okay? And I like the pictures of food in it.
So there's a very recent episode where they make some ham.
Mm.
And I love that on each of the bits of food, there's, like, a little banner that's, like, you know, like, tentacles.
There's
vinegar.
A little on-screen caption of what it is.
And as the ham is rolling away, the little banner follows it. Mm. Love that.
We got something like that in this episode of Bubblegum Crisis, actually.
We did! Oh, my God. Okay. Speaking of Bubblegum Crisis Tokyo 2040, it's only been 32 minutes.
New record. Maybe we should do, like, a single episode about the entirety of Delicious in Dungeon as a palate cleanser after this.
Potentially. But we haven't even seen all of it.
But it's rare that we both take interest in a current
in
anime
literally
show.
Anything. We have both taken interest in this one thing, and we're also up to date on it.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
So, Bubblegum Crisis Tokyo 2040.
It's 2040.
Yes. It's not going well in 2040.
No. Boomers dead everywhere.
Oh, hang on, I do have the this review of Light My Fire from Medium.com.
Go on.
By No Words, No Song. I'm just going to skim it for any notable excerpts because we're running long. Yeah, this isn't directly to do with the song, but from this review. Jim Morrison went the way of so many charismatic performers and met an untimely end in 1971. To this day, his grave is one of the most visited tourist sites in Paris, and there are still plenty of conspiracy theorists speculating about why his life was cut short. Perhaps the truth is just that he partied a little too hard, and for just a little too long. The chaotic live concerts, the run-ins with the forces of law and order, the conviction for allegedly exposing himself on stage were all the signs of someone whose grasp on reality was slowly slipping away. In the end, perhaps it didn't take much to send Jim Morrison over the edge.
Oh my.
Okay. That's just all I got. So, yeah, it's Tokyo. It's 2040.
Boomers.
And the big tower of Ganem.
The big Ganem tower.
Yep.
The big Galatea. The immoral goddess.
Yes. Galatea has become one with the Ganem tower that we've had so many delightful scenes with Mason and Alan over the course of this show. It's become a big lady and it's taking off into space.
It's shooting up with a twin helix underneath it.
Is yeah,
it
almost like
double.
What's the medical symbol?
Yeah, I'm literally trying to remember what that is.
Catacaeus. I don't know how to pronounce it. It's a hard C or a soft C.
Yeah, Catacaeus or something.
No, not that.
Cata something.
I can picture the word and all of the letters in my brain, but I don't know if they're hard or soft C's.
Satisius.
That's it.
Satutius.
And certainly we would never be so unprofessional as to look up something live on the show.
We would never devolve.
The Night Sabers escape from that and go back to the bar where Pris hangs out. K's.
It's a weird 15-minute chill time.
Cilia has basically taken herself out of the show from this point, and she spends the whole episode stroking the catatonic Marky's hair.
Mm-hmm. And Nene is like, he's gonna remember us. He has memories.
He's Marky. He was such a human.
He's so human. He's not just a boomer. He's not just Galatea.
Yeah. Nigel and Pris kind of reach an understanding where she understands that despite his stony demeanor, he's in love with Cilia and vice versa.
Mm, indeed.
And accepts that.
Because now she's in love with Leon.
Leon of all people.
Yeah. The most well-fleshed out character.
Yep. He's reasonably well-fleshed out.
Well, compared to Nigel and
Maceo.
Yeah. I was thinking the butler's had 3 scenes this entire show. We really didn't do much with him.
Nene goes back to her apartment.
And she's all like, I'm a genius. Yep. Let me show you.
I'm going to hack into an NSA spy satellite. Didn't expect that.
No. But it watches as the Ganem Tower...
Into its satellite camera feed. It's monitoring Galatea.
And the Shoham project.
Yeah, it's as she's flying through space towards the space umbrella of the Shoham project. A lot of good Nene faces in this episode.
I think everyone's just confused at what she's getting at.
And she finally, you know, for the people who, maybe like Nick, for instance, haven't been fully paying attention to the subplot of the Shoham project and the dragon line that's been running throughout this show.
Yeah.
Exposits about how the Shoham project is a big space umbrella that transports power through energy rays down to the receiver on Earth to distribute power through Tokyo through the dragon line.
Now, here's what gets me.
Mm.
Is that I thought the space elevator with all of its cargo and stuff was what the power was going to transfer through. But what they're actually going to do is fire a giant space laser down to Earth to transfer the energy, which is insane.
Like, yeah, so I'll quote the show here. The Shoham project was a plan to accumulate solar power in the underground dragon line by collecting pure sunlight outside of the atmosphere.
Pure.
Uncut.
Listen, when I go outside, this murky, gaseous sunlight, none of that. I want to go up above the clouds. I want to feel the rich radiation
that
on
genuinely
my skin.
Sounds really nice. Collecting pure sunlight outside of the atmosphere and sending it to the Ganem Tower as beams.
So
here's my question.
Yeah?
If the Ganem Tower is in space now...
Yep.
What's going to be the receiver?
What do you mean? I mean, nothing's going to be the receiver now. The Ganem Tower's gone. But, I mean, I don't know if you noticed this. Mega Tokyo is gone. It's like... It's just Boomer Central now.
The dragon lines have become boomers.
Mm-hmm.
Right, we already cut them up inside Tokyo. Blah, blah, blah. Does she intend to irradiate the phenomenon from space to turn all machines on Earth into boomers? So she's basically going to send energy beams laced with boomer madness down to Earth, wherever she wants.
Yep.
Blasting boomer phenomenon all over all the robots.
Yeah.
Like the All Spark in Michael Bay's Transformers. The magical cube that radiates turn machines into Decepticon energy.
I don't know enough about the AllSpark, but I assume...
It's a sort of magical cube.
I remember in the first one it was a cube.
I'm just talking about the first one.
But, like, did it turn things evil?
It turned things into...
Transformers.
Which seemed to universally be feral and or evil.
What about Optimus Prime?
He wasn't made by it.
Wait, what was Optimus Prime made by then?
Well, it depends what continuity you're looking into as to the creation of Transformers.
Okay, here we go, here we go. Was he made by the AllSpark or not?
I don't know, in the Michael Bay ones.
Okay, all right. Because I thought the AllSpark made all of them.
Well, maybe it was set to evil.
Ooh. They had a little switch.
But all the ones
the
that are made in the movie by it.
Yeah.
Violent.
Okay. What does that tell you about the nature of machines?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Shut them all down. All
right.
Join the Helldivers.
Listen.
Operation Swift Disassembly is progressing, but not fast enough.
I believe it's...
It will be over by the time you hear this.
I believe it's day 44. When you hear this, it will probably be day 50. Join the Helldivers.
Join the Helldivers.
It's a good time.
It's fun.
I've heard people describe it as more slapstick than actual game.
Oh, it's very silly, and you can't take it too seriously because you will get constantly team killed.
Yes. And also, it's not that deep.
No.
But that's the beauty of it.
It's shallow, but like a nice wading pool.
Mmm. It's a good vibe. And by that I mean a democratic vibe. Democratic vibe.
Yeah, so Galatea's gone to space and that's bad for us.
Hmm. So we're watching her from the NSA satellite.
And the NSA satellite shoots some nuclear missiles at it.
And they're like, they wouldn't dare shoot nukes at Ganem Tower.
They did.
The NSA's absolutely going to do
that. But the nukes harmlessly dissolve and all that delicious nuclear energy flows into Galatea because she turned the missiles into boomers.
Or were the missiles boomers already?
There's just no way to know.
Impossible. But the nanomachines, they love it.
Yep.
And everyone's looking at it agar. And they're just like, oh my God, this is bad. And then I believe some terms of service show up on the
screen. Microsoft terms of service. Sorry, Macrosoft, it says here.
Ooh, legally distinct.
The redistributor code is the Macrosoft Corporation, and it's by copyright law and international. You are authorized to make and use redistributor code, either as part of which you received the redistribute with the application for which it's expressly provided in the foregoing, not authorized to reproduce and redistributor code. I feel like I'm having a stroke.
Yeah. So that just shows up on the screen now.
And the reaction is every country is starting to panic.
They're all
I'm assuming
like...
in the era of SDTV, we would not be...
SDTV.
We would not be...
How quaint.
...making out that text quite so clearly.
I guess... But, like, surely we'd be able to read it enough and be like, ooh, that's
but
a lot
also,
of words.
But also, in the era of this being broadcast on TV, we would not also be taking frame-by-frame photos of it.
Yeah, definitely not that, no.
So, all everyone on Earth is panicking because the truth about Boomer Madness is out and everyone's afraid of the shit that's happening in Tokyo happening in their own countries.
Yeah, it's a bad time.
Yep.
They're all like, oh man, what if my, you know, country gets turned into boomers?
Yeah, and if they realize that Galatea is going to take over the Shohan project, they might just nuke Tokyo, which is where the solar receiver, where they would think the solar receiver is.
Mm. But I mean, the space laser could just re-aim.
Well, yeah, but they think the energy receiver is still in Tokyo.
Little do they know.
Mm. So they might preemptively nuke Tokyo too.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, anywhere being nuked is bad. But Tokyo is mostly abandoned now, at least.
Like, the boomers are all dead now. Like, we get shots of
and
all
the humans
boomers.
Are all gone.
Yeah, there's no... Well, actually, it seems like a pretty good idea then, if it's all...
JoJo's World! Nuke Tokyo!
Listen, all anime has taught us two things. One, nuking Tokyo is sometimes the best option.
Sometimes you've got to nuke a little Tokyo.
Sometimes. Sometimes you have to nuke a mega Tokyo.
It's a little treat.
It's a little treat. Yeah. Sometimes on the side, there's a little red button.
And if you don't have any nukes,
use
those landmines from Neon Genesis that make big crucifixes.
Oh, I know exactly what you're talking about as well. And I hate that. Because isn't that the thing that makes the really scary sound?
I don't know.
No, it's one of the angels makes the freaky sound. It's like when they shoot, it's like sounds like a child screaming.
Oh, okay.
And it's like, I hate that.
They resolve that they're going to go to space and kill Galatea.
Mm, don't we all?
Yep.
So
there's this scene.
Oh, this.
Leon steadfastly refusing to just leave the show, even though I thought every episode, like the last three episodes, has had his final scene.
Yep. He's always been like, and that's why I got to go.
And that's, it's like, I trust you to do what needs to be done. Goodbye. One episode later. I trust you to do what needs to be done. I would go with you if I could, but I can't. Goodbye.
And in this one, he says some shit.
He and Pris are talking, like they've been doing.
Yep. And I want the exact quote.
And I know which quote you're talking about, but I'm going to do the full run-up to
it. Okay, all right. Good choice.
Sometimes circumstances force you to do things. The woman you fall in love with loves somebody else, but you would hate yourself if you gave up on her.
Like this.
Therefore, speak on that.
Well, there's a lady that What's-Her-Face loves, and she's all like, oh, I wish I could have her, but I can't. But I can't give up on her. So she doesn't. And then she dies, I think. I think that's the plot of
Are you talking about Fantine?
I don't know their names.
Okay, I can't fully... Oh, are you talking about the woman who's in love with Marius, even though he's in love with someone else?
Maybe. I can't remember. All I remember is she's singing through, like, a gate.
Okay, yes, I think that's who you're talking about.
Okay.
Her name is... Not Cosette, that's the other one. She's the son of the daughter of the Thénardiers.
Sure.
And her name is...
Sad lady.
I can't remember.
Excellent.
Robo Jean. We've talked about the Les Mis fighting game before.
Have we?
Arm Joe? Yeah, in detail.
Oh, okay. I cannot remember.
They made a Robo Jean Valjean in it, in the same way that there was a Robo Kai.
Amazing.
Okay, resuming the quote.
Okay.
Therefore, if I can, I want to be with you until the end. Mm. I wish Celia designed hard suits for men. I'm not a transvestite, but I would not mind dressing up like you.
And then Pris goes...
Cancelled.
Shut up.
Yeah, she literally puts her hands on his lips and says, shut up.
We don't know fully why she says that, but we can make an educated guess.
This is probably what they meant in the show, and this is the way it reads in this day and age.
Yep. So then...
They start making out.
The
fucking funniest transition in the history of this show. Because it does one of those, like, pan and then crossfade cutaways that would normally take you to a new scene. But what it instead takes you to is the same scene, zoomed slightly further out, and we realise that on the edge of a rooftop, like, 2 metres from Pris and Leon... Nene and Lina eating chips.
And Lina is literally watching the entire thing go down. Just turned around being like, oh, that's nice.
And Nene is just staring towards the camera eating potato chips.
Yep. And then it's like, so what should we do now?
Yeah. Those two fit well, don't they? I don't know. I'm sure a man like Leon P is the henpecked type.
Oh. Yep.
And then like, how long have you two been there? And they say, we were the first ones here. We were here literally the whole time. We get a good shot of Nene's...
Adidas.
Dis.
Not Adidas.
Yeah, Adidas.
Oh, wait, is it Adidas or is it just Dis?
Just no way to know.
A-S.
So the D-D-I-S or A-D-I-S.
Yeah. Jesus Christ. So they're all like... Pris is like, how dare you?
Yeah.
How dare you? Well...
Shut up. Well, did you find a way to chase Galatea? Yeah, we're going to take the Skyhook.
So this plan. This plan is wild.
Yep, so... There's the Skyhook. We've seen many transitional shots of it.
Mm-hmm. So, the original plan, which will totally happen, is that the Skyhook picks up big cargo...
Celia stays behind. It's just the three of them now.
Oh, yeah, because she has to look after Mark.
She's given up on the Boomer fight because she failed.
Yeah. So, Skyhook will take cargo up the sky.
Yep, there's like a sort of monorail type situation.
Monorail.
Yep.
And it goes up the space elevator.
Yep.
And the way they're going to do it is they're going to hide in the cargo and go up the space elevator.
Yes.
So all they have to do is speed up, get on the cargo.
Well, now, the original plan, they don't even need to speed up. They just need to get there.
Yeah, they just need to get there, get on the cargo, and then just whoop.
Bingo bango. Easy peasy. Galatea will never see it coming.
Yeah. Unfortunately, Galatea sees it coming. Yeah.
She boomer phenomenons the two sides of the cargo container
thing
that it would stop and load, launches them into the ocean.
Yep. And so they're like, oh, we've got to get into that cargo container. Oh, no, it's in the ocean now.
So they realize that without cargo to collect, the Skyhook is not going to stop. So they need to get into it while it's moving, which requires using Pris's boomer motorcycle to go, like, what is it, 780 kilometers.
Yeah. So by my understanding, that's faster than the speed of sound.
I'll take your word for it.
Now, no normal motorbike would be able to achieve this. But this is no normal motorbike. This is the Moto Slave.
Mm.
Again, Moto slave. So,
maybe imperial speed countries aren't as familiar with kilometres, I don't know. But yeah. For reference, like, you know, a standard highway in Australia, you'd be looking at going 100 to 110 kilometres.
Yeah.
And they're going 780.
Yeah. So I'm pretty sure the speed of sound is like 500 kilometres right. an hour. You know what? I'm actually going to fact check this.
This feels fact checkable.
Because that seems
like... Oh, there's also a very long sequence where Leon is driving Pris there.
Mm-hmm.
And she talks about why she hated the AD police. Because when she was living in a former factory, the AD police burst in and ruined everything and burnt down the place.
Oh, so the place burned down, you were angry at the AD police.
Yeah. And they also destroyed her favourite CD, which had a song she wanted to sing one day at Wembley Stadium.
Now, tell me about Wembley Stadium.
Okay, so this is presumably talking about the Wembley Stadium that existed at the time of the show and not the one that was rebuilt in 2007.
Mm.
But it was a stadium in London known for its iconic twin towers.
Interesting. Very interesting.
Had a capacity of 82,000.
Mm-hmm.
Original standing capacity was 125,000 and later 100,000 prior to being made all-seated in 1990.
Hmm.
Opened in 1922.
Mm-hmm.
Closed 7 October 2000 for refurbishment.
Nice.
Slash demolishment and rebuilt.
Oh, but it still stands.
Well, it was rebuilt.
Yeah.
But in Tokyo 2040, anything could have happened. Brazilian footballer Pelé once said at the stadium, "Wembley is the cathedral of football. It is the capital of football and it is the heart of football." And Pris really wanted to play there. That was her dream.
Okay, I found it. I was completely wrong.
Okay.
The speed of sound is like 1,200 kilometres an hour.
Okay.
So...
Are they going like half that?
Yeah. I got it confused
because... Over half?
It's 343 metres a second.
Right.
So if you think about how far a metre is, take 343 of those.
Yep.
Do that in a second.
Right. I could do that.
Go on.
With like a, you know, one of those... sprinting starter chocks.
Oh, we haven't got any of those.
No.
So
anyway,
Pris
sings this really boring song.
Oh.
And I thought she was going to sing the song that always plays over the credits that Nick hasn't seen.
Correct.
But no, it was just another Pris song. I think in the original Bubblegum Crisis, they were robot fighters and like pop stars or something.
Hmm.
And of course, Pris is still a rock star. But
yeah.
I guess this is like a nod to that.
Right. So this is like, it's just a song about suffering.
Yeah.
That's kind of it.
And at this point, the stream was fucking up and it repeatedly took us to the website's homepage midstream for no reason. So I kind of lost some photos of the song lyrics, but it's not worth it.
It's not worth it. It was nothing. It was a nothing song. But point being, they just got to go on the skyhook. So Pris is like, all right, we're going to go fast.
Oh, there was a great Nene face when she realized that the pallets were being shot into the sea. Like the most super deformed we have ever seen her.
Oh, yeah.
It looks the size of dinner plates, vampire fang.
Just a good time.
Oh my God, Joseph Joestar style.
But
you were saying, sorry.
I can't remember what I was saying.
Okay. We're going to get on this skyhook.
Yes,
we're going to go super duper fast.
The moto slave.
It's Pris. Leon is once again like, I sure wish I could go with you. Anyway, bye. And then wordlessly gets in the truck and drives away.
It's just like every time. He just finds a way to be more.
He's
going to
show up
in
space and be like, I'm on the skyhook thing, but I sure wish I could go into the space umbrella with you. Anyway, bye.
Wordlessly gets on a rocket
and
ship.
They'll get in the space elevator.
Yep.
And he's like, I wish I could go into the boomer core with you.
Literally, they're there and it's like, whoa, we thought we'd find Galatea here. What are you doing, Leon? I wish I could fight Galatea with you.
Yeah, I wish I could help dispose of Galatea's body with you.
I wish I could start a new life with you. I wish I could, and it just keeps going for the rest of her life. That's it.
They're all riding the moto slave.
Mm-hmm. It's going pretty fast.
She's got her cool space age speedometer that we see climbing and climbing.
It's big.
Yep. And at one point she says, you two are pretty heavy, to the other two behind her. And
then they get
big anime angry icons over their faces.
What is it called?
It's like
Like a crop. You know the thing that happens when you shoot
someone?
Yeah,
it looks a bit like a hash mark.
Yeah, you know the thing that when you shoot someone in Call of Duty and it pops up and it's like... You know that thing?
Yeah.
Looks like
no,
that.
I don't know that thing, actually, but...
It looks like that, but, like, inverted.
It's the anime angry forehead muscle thing that everyone knows.
Yeah.
But it's just, like, superimposed over their hard suits.
But the thing is, they're going so fast...
That it drifts away backwards.
And as it drifts away backwards, we see...
Transition shot to the skyhook coming.
And those two little angry things pass by it real fast.
Like, they're real. It's a fun little bit of...
Oh, we love to see it.
Treating the... What am I trying to say? It's a just small comedic beat where it treats the superimposed
the non-diegetic elements.
Yeah.
As though
they were diegetic.
Yeah.
You got there. You got
immersion.
Me there. Thank you.
That's what I'm here for. I'm here for support.
You're here to make the podcast.
Look, I'm here for support and bringing us both down from the inside.
Pris mentally urges the moto slave to get them there, and it does.
And it's all like, nah.
And they crash, but they're fine.
Yeah, so they get...
It's a rough landing.
Yeah, they basically use their jets to get up into the skyhook, and then they all fall into the skyhook.
Pris spends some time patting the moto slave, like, you did good, moto slave.
I'm pretty sure it's still alive, but... Yep.
Well, as she left, like, a little light flickered back on, so...
It's just beeping away.
What could that be foreshadowing? Who knows?
I don't know. Nothing, probably.
And they go into the other room, and there's a boomer piloting this thing, like we alluded to earlier. And he's just a perfectly ordinary... normal non-phenomenon boomer being like, hey, you guys aren't allowed in here.
You must report with a ticket. And he's very civil.
And then he says, I'm going to have to report you to the operations center. And
Lina, in a moment of genius,
she says, oh, we've got tickets. And he says, oh, you've got tickets. Well, that's perfectly understandable. And he's a little sassy. He's a little sarcastic. He's more human than Leon.
Because God damn.
He's like, well, you've got tickets. That's okay. Ah, as if I'd believe that.
And then Nene's like, okay, listen, can you even get to your operations center? Like, can you actually radio them at all?
No, no one's responded in a week.
Then I'll give you a new mission.
Oh, sure, I'll accept that.
So weird.
She knows how to talk to machines.
True. She's got, what's the thing in Paranoia? It's like machine empathy.
I thought you were going to say autism.
Listen, if there's one thing I
like
understand...
in Shadowrun, she's got machine empathy.
Yeah, I was going to say, like in Paranoia, the highly treasonous thing of machine empathy. Does everyone ever just have autism now? Is that a thing?
Well, it's a spectrum, right? Everyone sits somewhere on the spectrum, right? That's what a spectrum is.
Well, yes and no.
You could be at the very far minimal impact end of it, but you're still somewhere on the spectrum.
Sure.
Is that wrong?
Yes.
Okay.
So it's like, it's a spectrum of symptoms, isn't it? Because it's like, on the one hand, it's like, oh, you just have some minor problems with communicating. And on the other hand, it's like, you can't look people in the eye.
Sure, but theoretically, if you extended that...
logic to...
If we extended that bottom end of the spectrum...
towards
further,
being normal. Yeah.
Then you would get the majority of the populace.
Oh, yeah, exactly. But that's why we don't do that.
Yeah, but, like, it's an artificial construct in that sense.
Everything is meaningless.
Especially boomers are artificial constructs.
Listen.
But they're also people. Boomers. Just like the droids in the Star Wars prequels.
Don't you start with this. No. No, they needed to die, Liam.
Truly, General Grievous was the boomer of the...
of Star Wars?
Of Star Wars.
Wasn't he just a normal guy?
He was a cyborg.
Ah, well, was he more Borg than Psy, though?
Psy Snootles was the name of the alien pop star that sang in Jabba the Hutt's Pleasure Palace.
Is that
she
real?
Was more Psy than Borg.
I think I get what you're saying. You know Max Rebo?
I'm familiar.
You know he didn't have any legs?
Because he was a puppet?
No, no, just canonically, he didn't have any legs.
Did he lose them in a terrible... smelting accident?
I think their race just doesn't have legs.
Okay.
I think that was the canonical thing or something. And they retconned it because everyone was like, but how does he walk around? And they were like...
terrible, I'm his roommate.
I don't know what I expected.
Nene talks about how she wanted to be an astronaut when she was a kid.
But she couldn't do it because she's too short.
Yeah, now she's into space. So she was...
So who's laughing now, NASDA?
She read that in the NASDA guidelines.
NASDA.
Well, it's not the National Association of State Departments of Agriculture.
That would be correct.
No, the National Space Development Agency of Japan.
Oh,
or NASDA.
Yeah. Yeah.
I thought it might have been a Russian thing on account of her Russian surname.
But we're in Tokyo.
Yep.
Mega Tokyo.
But it's, as we know, it's a cosmopolitan multicultural paradise there.
Filled with boomers and man.
Humans and the Russians and and the Irish live in harmony.
Margaret Thatcher is over there. Mega Tokyo's over here, and never shall the two meet.
And most importantly, Margaret Thatcher's in her grave.
Hey-oh! And there you go. Anyone who...
Did you know, we may have talked about this before, or you may have even told me this.
Go on.
The developers of the Untitled Goose Game have said it takes place in an alternate history where Thatcher was never elected.
What? Is that why it's so humbling and
bustling? Yeah, it's so idyllic.
Wow. Amazing.
And it's like, wow, Nana, you did get to go into space after all. Your dream came true. Yeah, just like you, Lina. Yeah, you got to join the Nightsavers, completing your character arc at the very start of the show.
Wow,
yeah.
Amazing. She's still here.
Yep. Where's Pris, who still has to complete her character arc of hating boomers? Oh, there she is.
Completing her character arc of hating boomers.
By respecting her motorcycle, the boomer.
And it's beeping. It's not dead.
She thanks it for its service.
Yep, and she's all like, it's a shame you had to die. And it's all like, beep, 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 beep. It's like, we'll never know if it was alive or dead ever again.
They tell the boomer on board about Galatea, who's like, who is this Galatea? Some sort of new boomer manager? And they're like, yeah, kind of.
She's some kind of immoral goddess. Oh, man. So funny. Like, why? Of all the possible namings they could have given it, immoral
goddess.
I mean,
that's not,
like,
that's not within the text of the show. That no, was no. But, next time on.
Yeah, but it was still like... Why would you use that phrasing?
So JRPG.
Oh, so good.
And they look into space and they're like, wow, so many stars. I sure hope we kill Galatea next time. End of episode.
Yep. Boom.
Boomer.
Boom on?
Nick, what were our highlights and lowlights this episode?
My highlight is Lina and Nene just sort of watching Pris and Leon.
That was pretty good.
Awkwardly trying to get along.
My highlight, well, segueing from that scene, I think it's pretty obvious what my lowlight was. Leon.
Oh.
I'm not a transvestite, but I'd sure love to dress like you. Shut this feels up. Like that hasn't really aged especially well.
Aged like coarse milk.
Which only perverts drink, of course.
It's fine to drink. We've had this conversation, I think, 10 times.
Since the last episode.
Since the last episode.
My highlight, of course.
You just get cold milk.
Is Nene and Lina passing and failing their speech checks on the normal boomer.
How is that a low light, though?
No, that's my highlight.
Oh, that's your highlight. Sorry. Yes. Well, my low light is going to be... Actually, it is just going to be that scene because it's... No, it won't be because that scene is very funny. My low light is going to be...
Oh, the song?
Oh, the fucking song. I forgot. Yes, the song.
It just really felt like they were padding out the runtime a bit there.
Yeah, and just being all like, oh... So because the AD police, you got angry. It's like, no, not that. Oh, so because the warehouse got shot up, you're angry. It's like, no, it's not that. Oh, so because you have childhood trauma. No, it's not that. It's that you destroyed one CD. Let me sing it now. It's like, you don't have to, you don't have to sing it.
It wasn't even that remarkable a song.
No, it was just like, there's no music.
Yeah.
It's just her singing. It's like, stop.
And mournful shots of the rest of the cast minus Daly.
And it's like, we've already had these. We've literally had scenes with them. I don't need to see them again.
So, Nick, we're going to do the final two episodes of this show next episode. End on a bang.
A double feature.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
The Nightsabers minus Cilia are in space to destroy Galatea before she can overtake the Shoham Project.
Yeah, that's it.
Everyone else is on Earth waiting for them to succeed or fail.
Including the NSA that has failed to shoot nukes at Galatea. Man, they really just shot nukes at Galatea, didn't they?
And they didn't do a goddamn thing.
They didn't do anything.
Should have shot those nukes at Mega Tokyo.
Classic amateur mistake.
The, like, obviously being in or having lived in the city that's about to get nuked would be very, very bad for anyone. Mm. But I felt like the sheer moment of horror that crossed every character's face at the prospect of the city being nuked was, you know, very indicative of the particular relationship Japanese culture has with nukes.
Yeah.
What will happen next time on the final two episodes, Walking on the Moon and Still Alive and Well.
Hmm. So they did make an allusion.
Allusion?
With an A. To something to do with the moon. Like, they were like, there's something we can do.
I think that was me joking. When Nene pointed up to that take the skyhook, and the skyhook crossed the moon so you could see it easily against the sky.
Oh, okay.
I said, they're going to blow up the moon.
Well, I thought it was more like, we're going to go to the moon where we have something going on.
The skyhook only goes to...
Yeah, I know, but maybe they'll still go to the moon.
Well,
I don't know.
It is called Walking on the Moon.
Exactly. But what if the moon is Galatea's dumb big face?
Sure.
what if...
She becomes a Death Star.
Ooh, that's a good career prospect.
Just like that one droid.
What? Okay. Here's my hypothesis.
Okay.
Right? Thing to be tested for next time. They get in Galatea.
We should do the thing test live on this podcast.
What's the thing test?
It's where you get a bit of your blood and a heated needle to see if you're the thing.
Why would we do that on a podcast?
To see if either of us are the thing.
Yeah, but then no one will see it.
But we'll know.
That's the test, though.
It's true. If we're both the thing, we could just both be lying.
Yeah, it's like, is he the thing? And you're like, oh, thank God, I was the thing all along. It's like, prove it. Yeah, do the blood test. No, I promise I'm the thing. Okay. What about?
I'm listening.
They get inside Galatea.
Yep.
Yep. She has to have some weak point inside of her.
Her boomer core.
Yeah, her heart.
The anti-seed.
Yeah. So they'll get in and they'll be like, we have to destroy that. There'll be two obstacles in the way. One of them is going to have to do with boomers. And the other one is going to have to do...
You mean like one big boomer they fight or...
Or like some collection of the phenomenon.
Sure, another mass.
Yeah, another mass or something. But the second one will have to be like some kind of moral obstacle.
Sure, like it's, you know...
The contained
memories. It's Marky or something.
Yeah, exactly. It's like the contained memories of all other boomers.
Yeah, or
which are actually alive.
The personification of Galatea's right to humanity because she's born from humanity.
It's like, oh, I'm just a child. It's like, you're not a child. And then she turns into a child. You're like, she's just a child. You know, that level of... There's some weird, stupid
sci-fi,
human thing.
Sci-fi, neo... What's the word? Not cyberpunk. Like, what's Blade Runner?
Cyberpunk.
But like the specific kind of stuff about transhumanism, transhumanists.
Yes, some transhumanist boundaries that can never be crossed.
Sure, yeah. I'm not a transhumanist, but I'd sure like to dress up in a boomer.
And then Prince is going,
shut up. Neck break sound.
Oh. Yeah, like that. I don't know exactly what it's going to be, but I suspect it's either going to be Marky is trapped in something and Nene will be like, no, don't do it.
Yep.
If we kill her, we kill Marky. Like that thing. Or it'll be...
Why do I not have a right to live like Celia?
Yes. And they'll be like, well, because you're a boomer. And they'll be like, but aren't boomers our friends? And then Alan will show up.
Oh, and she's like, she's assuming... Do you mean he'll actually show up?
Like physically, in some way, he will show up. Like it might just be as a...
mental construct.
Yeah, but he'll be there and be like... Listen, boomers are our friends. And we'll be like, who the fuck are you?
Yeah, they've never met.
They've never seen him. They have no idea who he is. No context. But he'll be there. He has to be. He has to come back.
Boy, Mason really had an anticlimactic ending in this show, didn't
he? Oh, yeah. He got turned into a thing and that was it.
Yep.
Yep. And they even saw him and was like, no, leave him. He's happy. Yeah. And then they'll kill Galatea. And then they'll come back to Earth and Leon will be like, oh, thank God you're still alive.
Anyway, bye.
Yeah, and then the Night Sabers will disband?
And what's the future of boomers?
Actually, that's a good question. I figure what'll probably happen is it'll be like every sci-fi where it's like, and so we solve the problem.
Mm.
And so version 2 is going to come out soon, right? So then new boomers will come out.
They'll continue their Butlerian jihad.
Exactly. The Spacing Guild will be all like, we can take you wherever you need, bro. Just give us that space. Give me the boomers, you know? Listen, one boomer to another, you know? Just a couple of boomers doing boomer things. You know, nothing to worry about.
And what individual character endings will each of the Night Sabers have?
So, my suspicion will be Lina will move back to the country with that guy. And they'll live a happy, quiet life, you know?
Where despite she'll be like, her obvious love for Pris?
Yes.
Okay.
Pris will ride off into the sunset with Leon.
Oh, not her band?
No, absolutely not. She'll be like, you know what? I had a good time, but now I'm off to live in a new warehouse that's abandoned. And we'll be like, where's that going to be? She'll be like, bye.
Okay.
Nene will be promoted to head of NASDA.
Not the AD police.
Never the head of AD police. She'll be promoted to head of NASDA or something to make the new Shoham project. The theater pork project, as I like to think of it.
Okay.
Where they'll do exactly the same thing.
But faster.
But faster without boomers. Or something like that.
Yep.
Celia gonna do? Celia will maybe open up a new store, but keep underground all of like the old hard suits for another
when
time.
When she needs it again. Yep. What about Catatonic Marky?
Maybe he'll recover. But he'll be like, I don't know who Nene is. But Nene will be like, I know who you are. Come with me.
We can build a new relationship together.
Exactly. It'll be like Amnesia, right? Where it's like...
The Dark Descent.
Yeah. And it's like, wake up with
me. A machine for boomers.
Yeah. It'll be like, wake up with me. It'll be like, what's that movie?
Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind.
No, that's sad. It's like...
Sicario.
No.
Machete.
No, keep going.
Spy Kids 3D. Game over.
No, go back one.
Spy Kids 2.
Maybe like Spy Kids.
Haven't seen it.
Neither have I. Well, I think I did, but I can't remember it.
Her.
No, not her.
Haven't seen it.
No one has. I want to say it'll be like that one Drew Barrymore, Adam Sandler
50
film.
First Dates.
Yes, it'll be like that.
Where every morning he wakes up with no memory.
No, she wakes up with no memory.
Why?
What do you mean? That's the whole point of the thing.
Shut up. What about Nigel? going to keep on drinking whiskey from the bottle, fucking women and making motorcycles.
Yeah, I wonder what he's going to do. Because he's not having a great time.
For the past 40 years.
Yeah, maybe Celia will be all like, listen, don't leave Nigel. And Nigel will be all like,
okay.
Nah, fine, I'll stay.
Give me that whiskey.
Yeah. And then the butler will be like, ah, good show, sir, good show. And then give him more whiskey.
Leon.
Leon's going to go with Pris.
Okay, Daly.
We will see nothing of Daly. Okay. I think he's just gone.
Nick.
Oh, yeah.
And his daughter.
And his daughter. Maybe he'll return and be all like, Nene, you did a great job.
The sexual harassment boss from the corporation.
He...
And the boomer middle manager.
What if the last scene is like a flip on the first scene where Lina is now the boss of him?
Ah.
What if?
But how does that reconcile with her going back to the country?
I don't know, but it's going to happen
anyway.
You're
throwing out a lot of...
Yeah. Maybe that'll happen anyway. Where it's like,
or it's like, maybe we can end on a cliffhanger here where it's him and he's going out for a night in the town and he gets mad boomer horror movie cutaway.
Mm.
Or is it?
Like Godzilla.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He walks into the sea.
Oh,
okay, well, we'll see all of that and more next time for the final two episodes of Bubblegum Crisis Tokyo 2040. And then what? Who knows? But I was saying to Nick, we should make an off-season theme song.
We really gotta make a theme song.
We'll toss some ideas around off-air.
Mm.
I have some thoughts.
Idea number one, boomers.
To be continued.